23:15-17 says, "And David longed, and he said, 'Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem.'" Everybody say, "The well of Bethlehem." He said, "I know the one. It's the one by the gate. Oh, that somebody would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem. And the three mighty men," so in response to his request, "three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines." They fought through the enemy, and they went and they got David. They drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and they took it. After fighting their way through the Philistines, they took it and they brought it to David. And what does David do? He doesn't drink it. He goes, "You guys have gone to so much effort. You fought through the Philistines and brought me this water. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but he poured it out unto the Lord as a sacrifice unto the Lord. And he said, 'Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it.' These things did these three mighty men." Everyone say, "Three mighty men." So David says, "Oh, I'd just love to have a drink from the well of Bethlehem." And then three of his mighty men says, "We'll go get it." They fought through the Philistines. They come back with the water to David. Our second scripture is Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And it says this: "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little," everyone say little, "little, you're just a little town among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." This is a wonderful scripture in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, because this is a prophecy that Jesus would come, the ruler of Israel, that he is from old, from everlasting. He's not just born a man, but this is God in flesh, and this prophecy said that he's going to come from Bethlehem. Now, what are the chances of that? 750 years before it happened, Micah prophesied that the Savior would come from Bethlehem. It's just like somebody, me prophesying today that the next prime minister is going to come from Michelago in 750 years' time. There's going to be a... Can you see? That's a prophecy. That's a powerful prophecy. And this was written 750 years before Jesus was even born. Two very obscure passages to preach a Christmas story from. One from Samuel and about the well of Bethlehem, and then one, a prophecy from Micah. In fact, probably should have turned to Matthew 2, which tells us that the wise men came and they followed the star, and that they presented God, the Lord, with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then they came and they get to Jerusalem and they say, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And the scribes and the priests say, "Bethlehem? Can't you remember what the prophet said? Bethlehem?" And so today I want to speak on this title, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. Lord Jesus, Lord, in this Christmas season, Lord, help us draw closer to you. Help us to have a stronger relationship with you. Lord, help us to drink of the rivers of living water more so, Lord, at this time, in these last days. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. O little town, O little town of Bethlehem. It's an interesting thought, because Bethlehem was so small that out of this little town would come the greatest man that has ever walked on planet Earth. He was more than just a man, but he was God in flesh. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, that in him was the fullness of the Godhead, and we are complete in him. But this lovely carol that was sung today by all of us was written from an event that took place in a man's life whose name was Philip Brooks. On December 24, which is Christmas Eve in 1865, Philip Brooks was only 30 years old, and he would forever be changed by a Christmas Eve service that lasted nearly 5 hours. Everybody say 5 hours. So if I go for three, you consider yourself lucky. But this Christmas Eve service lasted for 5 hours. And this Christmas Eve service in which Philip Brooks attended was held at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. How many people here today have been to Bethlehem? Yeah, there's a few people. One, two, three, four. There's a few people, maybe a few others, yeah, have been to Bethlehem. I'd love to go there one day. I hear that really it is just a little place. But he stood there in that Christmas Eve service as they went for 5 hours. And Brooks writes these words. He says, "I remember standing in the old church in Bethlehem, close to the spot where Jesus was born. When the whole church was ringing hour after hour with splendid hymns of praise to God. How again and again it seemed like I could hear voices I knew well telling each other of the wonderful night of the Savior's birth." He could hear, as it were, the angels singing there, he said, at that little old church in Bethlehem. He said the full impact of this night in Bethlehem, this Bethlehem experience, would become evident as I prepared for the Christmas season, which was 3 years later back home. Brooks wanted to compose an original Christmas hymn, he wanted the children to sing the hymn during the Christmas program. So memories of, as he thought, you know, I want to compose a hymn that we can sing during the Christmas season. And straight away he was transported back to that time on Christmas Eve in 1865 when he stood there at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, and it all began to come back to him. The memories flooded his mind, and he began to write a hymn of five stanzas, and he handed the words to the church organist. The next day, a group of six Sunday school teachers and 36 children got up to sing that day, and they sang that song written by that man, Mr. Brooks, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." That's where it comes from. I wish we would have some more modern day carols. But when you think of somebody's life, you can basically summarize somebody's life up with their birth, their life, and their death. When you think of birth, life, and death, and when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, there are three cities that instantly come to mind. Because Jesus was born where? In Bethlehem. Nazareth is where he died, where he lived, and Jerusalem is where he died. And each one of those cities, the three cities, Bethlehem, Nazareth, and Jerusalem, they conjure up a different picture for us. When we think of Bethlehem, we think about a cradle. When we think about Nazareth, we think of Jesus working as a carpenter during his life. And when you think of Jerusalem, you think about a cross. But the story of Jesus, the one who we've gathered here to worship today, the one who people all around the world are worshiping on a Sunday and giving their life to, the one for whom people all across the world are giving their life, even being martyred, it all began in a little town called Bethlehem. Otherwise, if it wasn't for Jesus, this little town of Bethlehem would have been some unheard of Palestinian town. Kind of just like a little town out back somewhere. No one's ever heard of it. Some of the towns we saw on the screen, like Nirupi or Yulamu. Or maybe you've never even heard of Nullanby or Kilcoy. Things like that. Bethlehem was smaller than that. And if it wasn't for Jesus, that we wouldn't even know about Bethlehem. Such a small place. But now this little town of Bethlehem has become the theme of poetry, has become the subject of so many artists. It has become the goal of pilgrims, of Christian pilgrims, as they want to go back and they want to go to that place where Jesus was born. That little town of Bethlehem. Even to this day, it is still just a little town. And Micah tells us that out of this little town would come the ruler of the Jews, who was from everlasting. You see, Bethlehem is living proof that big things do come in small packages. As Brother Gleason preached just a little while ago at our conference, he preached that there is no stage too small for greatness. Because out of such a small place like Bethlehem came our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you say, oh, you know, Pastor, I'm a nobody. My family are nobodies. We don't have money. We're not popular. People wouldn't know our surname. Let me tell you, God can do something mighty in your life. God can do something mighty through your life, because there is no stage too small for greatness. If you would put your life in the hands of your Creator, let Him mold you, let Him make you. God can do something wonderful with your life. The world may say, oh, but you're just a normal person. But hey, when you have Jesus, you're no longer normal. Amen? And so it's living proof. This Savior, this well, everybody say a well. A well of living water. For Bethlehem? No. For the Jews? No. A well of living water for the whole world. Every race, every color, every country, from the Amazon to the outback. A Savior for the whole world. And His name is Jesus. Bethlehem would be the place where creation would meet its Creator. Bethlehem would be the place where we would come face to face with our Creator. No longer would He be God afar off, but He would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's with us now. God with us. The most significant event in human history happened as this one child was born in a small town of Bethlehem. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. And so you say, Pastor, what has this got to do with the scriptures that we read at the beginning about these three mighty men and about David wanting a drink from the well of Bethlehem? It's Old Testament. Jesus is New Testament. How does it all link up? You see, in our text, 2 Samuel 23, verse 17, it mentions these words. It says, after David said, oh, I would like a drink from the well of Bethlehem. And then it says these three mighty men went and got him a drink. And so David is looking back over his life in this text that we read. And he begins to express this deep affection and appreciation for his mighty men. Their names are Adino, Eleazar, and Shammah. These were the three mighty men. Some of their resume, Adino, he killed 800 with a spear in one battle. We know Eleazar stood his ground against the Philistines when the rest of the army fled. When everybody ran away, Eleazar stood his ground with a sword. Okay? And he held onto that sword so hard that his hand froze around the sword. When the battle was finished, they had to come and they actually literally had to take that sword out of his hand. What a mighty man Eleazar was. But Shammah stood his ground also to defend what? A field of lentils. A mighty man, these three mighty men. David said, oh, that I could drink of the well of Bethlehem. And these three mighty men said, we'll go get it for you, David. We'll go through those Philistines. We will fight them. And so David is looking back and he's showing appreciation. And so here they are. They went to get a drink from the well of Bethlehem. The well of Bethlehem. And David clarified it because maybe there was another well in Bethlehem. He said, oh, that I could drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. The one near the entry into the city, like in Canberra. You know, if I could drink of the well of Canberra, the one over on Northbourne Avenue, near where people come in. He said, by the gate. And so David was thirsting. They went and got him the drink. What was it, I wonder, about the well of Bethlehem? What was it that made the well of Bethlehem so special to David? Surely there would have been wells everywhere he went, because that's the way they got their water in their time. But there was something about the well of Bethlehem. You see, David, he grew up in a little town of Bethlehem. He was familiar with the town. His parents had obviously, most probably, gone to this well and fetched water. He had probably gone to the well holding mom and dad's hands as they went to that well that was near the gate. His ancestors drank from there, and he himself had made a trip to that well many times to go and fill up a glass or to fill up a bucket or to fill up some sort of pot full of water. Now, many years later, what's happened to Bethlehem? The Philistines had overrun the city. David can see the destruction of Bethlehem from his fortified camp, which wasn't too far. He can see the place where he grew up. He can see it in ruins. But perhaps maybe his boyhood home, the place where he grew up, is laying in ruins. And his childhood memories, the tree that he used to climb, is now no longer there. And the very center of town has been captured by the enemy. And David, from his fortified camp, not far from Bethlehem, he begins to think about his childhood. And he says, almost without thinking, he says, oh, that somebody could get me a drink from the well of Bethlehem. Oh, I can see the destruction in the city. I can see my childhood house in ruins. I can see the Philistines had overtaken, and all the memories have come flooding back. He said, oh, if I could only have a drink from the well of Bethlehem again. Now, David had traveled much of the country. In fact, you could almost say he'd been everywhere across the country. He had drunk water from so many wells in his lifetime. But at this time in his life, after drinking from every well across the country, as he traveled as a soldier, drinking every day, he had tried every single well in the country. But right now, as he sits in his fortified camp, only one well will satisfy him. He says, oh, that I could drink of the well of Bethlehem. If you read about David, there's one thing about David. He was a man who knew what it was like to have a deep, unquenchable thirst for God. He says things like this, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We read in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, it says, as the deer, or as the hart, panteth after the water brooks. David says, my soul thirsts, it pants after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? David was thirsty for God. Is anybody here today thirsty for God? Has anybody here tried every well in this world, and you've dipped your bucket in that well and you found that that well didn't satisfy you? David was thirsting after God. In Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2, he says, when David was in the wilderness, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longs for you, God, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And so, because of their love for David, these three mighty men, David says, oh, that I could drink of the well of Bethlehem. And these three mighty men said, David, consider it done. And they fought their way. They went through all that trouble. They fought through the enemy, and they went and they dipped their bucket in the well of Bethlehem, and they brought it back to David. What was it that was so special about the well of Bethlehem? What was it about this well in this little town, oh, little town of Bethlehem? David probably didn't realize that he was speaking and that he was acting prophetically, as he often did in his Psalms, acting and speaking prophetically once again on that day of battle. He couldn't have known. There was no way with his own mind that he could have known that the prophets who ministered years later after David, that they would speak of the visitation of God, that they would speak of the manifestation of God in words like this. Those prophets later after David, they spoke of the visitation of God as a river. Everybody say a river. They spoke of the visitation of God as a fountain, as a pool, as a spring, as a stream. That the prophet spoke of the visitation of God as a well. You see, David, little did he know that in this act on this day of this battle, that he was speaking prophetically of the Savior who would be born. God with us, the well of living water. Isaiah 41, 17 and 18 says it like this. When the poor, the prophet Isaiah says, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I am the God of Israel, and I will not forsake them. Look at this. I will open rivers in high places, and I will open fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness. I will make, when people are hungry, the prophet says, I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. That is Isaiah prophesying about Jesus. We read again in Isaiah 35, verse 16, it says, then the lame man leaps as a deer or as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters, everybody say waters. You see, Jesus was water to a weary world. Jesus was water to a wilderness, to a desert that this world had come. For in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. How many people can testify today that when you found Jesus, the thirsting and the longing of your heart was satisfied? You see, my life was dry. My life was barren. But when I drank of the rivers of living water, when that spring burst forth in my life, I found meaning. I found hope. I found it all in Jesus. David lived a long time before Isaiah. There's no way that David could have known that the prophets would prophesy as the visitation of God as a well, as a spring, as a stream, as a fountain. And David here in this psalm, when he says, oh, that I could drink of the well of Bethlehem. Isaiah said it again in Isaiah 12, verse 3. Therefore shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. You see, David had a thirst for God. We ought to have a thirst for God. I believe, what is it that made David a man after God's own heart? We discuss it a lot. What is it? What words to be said of David that he is a man after God's own heart? How it could be so? What was it that made him a man after God's own heart? Let me tell you what I believe. It's because he had an unquenchable thirst for God. If you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, then go after the heart of God. Be hungry. Be thirsty for Him. Look at this. God said, David, because of your thirst for me, I'm going to open up a fountain of redemption for the whole world. And where is the fountain going to come from? The redemption from the whole world. Where is salvation going to come from for the whole world? Zechariah said it like this. In that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. I believe this is also prophesying that to the house of David, that fountain, that place where David was born in Bethlehem. Yes, there was a well, and that well was Jesus Christ. He was born in a stable. He was laid in a manger, but he is the living water for the whole world. The gospel, listen, the gospel is the well of Bethlehem. Because we were dry, we were thirsty, we were parched, we were lost, we were hungry. And that well of Bethlehem is Jesus Christ. He came, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. I've come today to preach about this little town of Bethlehem, but it's not so much about the town, it's more about the well.
I ask you today, have you taken a drink from the well of Bethlehem? Jesus is the well of Bethlehem. Jesus said in John 4, verse 14, he said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him, whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall what? Never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, David knew that there was something about the well of Bethlehem. He said, I tried wells here, I've tried wells there. I've tried shallow wells, I've tried deep wells. I've tried wide wells, I've tried narrow wells. I've tried the ones that everybody recommends. But let me tell you, there's nothing like the well of Bethlehem. And maybe you sit here today and that's your testimony. I tried alcohol, I tried drugs, I tried gambling, I tried relationships, and I've been through these many relationships, and I tried the parties and I tried the clubs. But you know what? It was like I was drinking from a well of salt water. As I was sitting here today, God gave me a vision of somebody drinking salt water. Has anyone ever got a mouthful of salt water? If you're really thirsty, a mouthful of salt water actually feels quite nice because it's cold and it feels like water. Yeah? It is water after all. It's just got a lot of salt in it. So you get that water in your mouth and you could be really hot and it's going to make you feel, whoa, that feels nice. Cold water, cold salt water. What's going to happen? It's going to leave you dry. It's going to leave you thirstier. And that's what this world has to offer us, is a well of salt water. It's going to make you feel good for a little while. It's going to make your mouth feel cold. It's going to taste a little bit like water when you first put it in, but it's never going to satisfy your life. It's never going to satisfy the longings of your heart. The water that this world gives can never satisfy. I've come to preach today that the only water that can satisfy is the water from the well of Bethlehem. And that well of Bethlehem is Jesus Christ. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Just a little well in a little town called Bethlehem. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, John 7:38, as the scripture hath saith, out of his belly. So we believe on him. There is rivers of living water that can flow out of us. It means that living water can get in us. That means if Jesus is a living water, we can have him inside of us through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, and out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. You see, there was a well dug in Bethlehem. It was dug in obscurity, a small town. It was dug in the night. It was dug by the light of a single star. It was dug not in a palace, but he was stuck in a stable. Humble shepherds. Everybody say humble shepherds. They came to the opening of this well. And at the first gush of the living water, when they first saw, at that first gush, when they first saw the Savior, the angels of God began to shout out. When they saw that well of Bethlehem, when they saw our Savior, their response was, glory to God in the highest. Our Savior is here, the well of Bethlehem, the rivers of living water. And I thank God that we don't have to be thirsty in this world. I thank God that we don't have to live without hope. I thank God that we just don't have the salt water that this world has to offer. I thank God that I got Jesus in my life. He's the well of Bethlehem. He's the well of Bethlehem. You see, David's three mighty men fought through the enemy's forces. They went through whatever they had to do to get to that well. Maybe you're sitting here today and say, I need Jesus, but I got too much to get through. There's too much stuff that needs to change in my life. Let me tell you, those three mighty men knew what the well of Bethlehem was about. Whatever it takes. Whatever you've got to leave behind, whatever you've got to cast out of your life, whatever you've got to change, let me tell you, it's worth it to have a drink of the well. So many times, yeah, Jesus, the idea of serving Jesus and the idea of being a Christian, we say, yeah, it sounds like a good idea, but I'm not ready to give up this yet. And I'm not ready to give up that. I'm not ready to fight. I'm not ready to try and be strong when I'm feeling weak. Let me tell you, it will be worth it all if you can just take a drink from the well of living water. Those three mighty men, they fought through the Philistines. They dipped their bucket in those rivers of, in that well of living water, the well of Bethlehem. You see, there's so much in the Bible that prophesies, that speaks of Jesus and what he would be. And I encourage you, if you've never drunk from that well, if it's been a long time since you've been to that well, maybe you're sitting here today and you're dry and you're thirsty within, let me tell you, there is a well of living water that you can drink from today. Maybe you're sick and tired of filling your mouth with the salt water of this world, just leaving you dry, leaving you feeling sick, leaving you unsatisfied. I want to tell you, there's nothing like Jesus. Can somebody in the church say amen today? There's nothing like Jesus. Clap your hands to the Lord. Let's just worship him. We love you, Lord. Oh, that I could drink of the well of Bethlehem. Revelation 22 verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride, what do they say? They say, come. And let him that heareth say, come, 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 and let him that is athirsty, let them come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, there is a well who was born in Bethlehem and he lives today. If you're hearing me today, if you're thirsty today, then the Spirit and the bride, they all say, come and drink of the well of Bethlehem. Matthew 5 verse 6 says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Acts chapter 2 verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Whoever you are, there is a well in Bethlehem. There is a well in Bethlehem. We need to drink of that well. Whenever I'm sick, my mum, she's not a doctor, but if we know our mums well, they all think they are. My mum's a doctor with one remedy, all right? Not much of a doctor, but she might be onto something. Because whenever, doesn't matter what it is, if I have a sleepless night, she'll say, well, you just need to drink more water. Got a headache? Not enough water. Sometimes she'll come, she'll say, you're looking all washed out in your face. You need to drink more water. And you know, water seems to be the remedy for everything. They say you want to lose weight, drink more water. You want to be fitter and healthier, drink more water. And I believe the same is in the spiritual. I'm a doctor with just one remedy. That remedy is Jesus. Whatever your need is today, drink more water. Have another drink from the well of Bethlehem. Go to the well again. Whatever it takes, get a drink from that well. Get back to the well of Bethlehem and say, I got a drink of the water that will not leave me thirsty. And there are people here today, you know what it's like. You tried the water from every well. And you said to yourself one day, when you came back to the Lord, you say, oh, but I could go and drink of that well of living water again. And you found it. And there's people here today, it's been a long time. You're there. You're feeling dry. You're feeling sick. You're feeling overwhelmed. Let me tell you, there is a well in Bethlehem. And his name is Jesus. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. I want to finish today by asking you a question. Sometimes in church, as a pastor, we should never make assumptions. I could assume today that because all of you are in church today, that everybody's on fire for God, that your prayer life has never been stronger. But I don't think we should make assumptions. I could assume today that because you're in church, that you know that Jesus is everything you need and you're seeking him today. But the question I'm about to ask you now, I don't want it to be offensive to any of you, especially for all of us that call ourselves committed Christians. But I believe this question is a question the Spirit is asking. Have you ever asked Jesus to satisfy you? One source, one well. See, I don't know about you, but there's a tendency for many of us, as we take Jesus just one of the many things that we have in our life. We do this and we do that, and we've got our Jesus thing as well. Kind of like a handbag in our cupboard, you know, when the outfit's right, we take the handbag. Especially on Sunday morning, we take Jesus. Just one in a number of things that we've got in our life that we need. But I put to you today that Jesus can satisfy completely and Jesus can satisfy wholly. I've been in places in the world where people have nothing. You know, in Australia, we think we're poor if we don't have a big flat screen, two cars in the garage. Oh, we're poor. But I've been in places where people just live under grass or a piece of tin with a dirt floor, with no job, a few chickens, maybe a little bit of rice so the community grows together. They can walk to that door as we walk into their village for church. They can walk to their door with the biggest smiles on their face. And I'll tell you, you know, Pastor, Jesus is more than enough for me. There is a well. This is what Christmas is all about. Here's the well of Bethlehem. We don't have to be thirsty and dry anymore. We don't have to be hurting anymore. Because there's a well in Bethlehem. And I just wish some of you could see. You know, as we went to a little town, Matthew Taylor was with me. Went to this little town, these people lived in a room, probably about half the size of that little musician's area. Whole family of five. They walked out, we began to pray. They just lifted their hands up. It was the greatest day they've ever had. In the presence of God, as we prayed for them, as we fellowshipped. And see, our lives are so full. I'm sorry to say, you might like your stuff, but our lives are so full of really junk. Salt water. Upgrading, just so we can try to find happiness somehow. The next upgrade, the bigger house, the bigger screen. Oh, we're going to go here this year, but next year we're going on a holiday here. And it never seems to satisfy. There is a well in Bethlehem. Have you ever asked Jesus to satisfy you? Have you ever thought today that the God of heaven could satisfy you completely? That he could satisfy you, that you would cease to be desperate anymore for anything else. And that everything else is just an extra. But Jesus is the main meal. You see, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He wasn't saying like we eat bread. Well, you know, us Australians, when we eat bread, we put it on the table and we say, you can take it or leave it. But in the Jewish culture, bread was the main part of the meal. He said, you can't have a meal without having me. I am the bread of life. If Jesus was in Asia, he would have said, I'm the bread of life. He would have said, I'm the rice of life. Because you can't have a meal without having rice. He's saying, when you sit down to the meal of life, let me be the center of everything. I am the well of Bethlehem. In John chapter 4, we read about this lady by the woman of Samaria by the well. It was the sixth hour. Jesus was weary from his journey. He sat down. And a woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, he said, can you get me a drink as well? And she said, why is a Jew asking me for a drink? I didn't think the Jews liked us Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knewest the gift of God and who it is that is saying this to you, who it is that's asking you for a drink, if you knew who I was, he says, then you would have asked me for a drink. She said, but Jesus, you don't have a bucket. You got nothing to draw from. Jesus said, well, if you drink of the water in this well that I'm sitting by, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of me, the well of Bethlehem, you will never thirst. And then she said, give me of the water that you're speaking about. Then Jesus says something very awkward. He says, go and get your husband so he can drink as well. And she said, I've got no husband. Verse 18 of John 4. And Jesus corrects her. He says, well, you say you don't have a husband, but you have five husbands, and the one that you're with now is not your husband. You know what Jesus is saying to her? He's pointing out to her, do you realize that you're dissatisfied with your life? Do you realize that you got five husbands and the one you're living with is not your husband? Do you realize that you are completely dissatisfied with life? How do you know if someone's dissatisfied? Let me tell you how you know. Because they chop and change all the time. Try this, try that, try this. And I assure you know people like that. They've got to have something new all the time. Whether it's a new relationship or a new piece of clothes or a new car, just trying to find something that will satisfy them. And Jesus says to her, he goes, I know that you are completely dissatisfied with life because you're chopping and changing. The woman at the well was dissatisfied, running from person to person. And Jesus said, woman, if you knew who I was, you would be satisfied forever. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Are you tired today of drawing the same stuff from the well of this world? The same well, the same water pots. Yeah, it pacifies you like salt water in your mouth, but it never satisfies. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, there is a well in Bethlehem. If you drink, you will be completely satisfied. Have you ever asked Jesus to satisfy you? Let's stand in this place right now. The Spirit of God is moving right now on people's hearts. Most important question you could probably ever be asked. Have you asked Jesus to satisfy you? Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. There is a well in Bethlehem. Come on, let the Lord speak. God is speaking to every single heart in different ways. Identify the salt water that you've been drinking. Identify all the wells in this world. And do whatever it takes, like those three mighty men. Do whatever it takes to get to the well of Bethlehem, because there is a well in Bethlehem that never runs dry. Come on, just lift up your voice and pray. Don't worry about the people beside you. Lord Jesus, I'm thirsty for you. Lord, I'm hungry for you. Lord Jesus, I need you like the desert needs the rain, oh God. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of the year, oh God, we're weary, we're thirsty, we're worn out, God. We've been drinking from all sorts of wells, but God, we need the drink of you. There's only one well that will satisfy your soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. I want this whole auditorium here, this whole sanctuary, to be an altar today as we seek the Lord. Come on, let's just seek Him. We got a few minutes here just to seek God, to take another drink from that well. Lord Jesus, that you would satisfy me. Lord God, I repent, oh God. Lord, I've been turning here and there and trying this and that. Oh God, and all along I knew that only one well will do for me. The well of Bethlehem. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah.